So we'll do Mishnah Brura. We have on page 32 we have Tuf Mem Gimel, and that I think we pretty much discussed. Reuven, do you know Mel? Do you know each other? Let's see if we can. Let's open up to Simon Tuf Mem Dalet. I'm just not sure if we finished Tuf Mem Gimel. One second. You know what? Let's just make a quick review on page 33. I'm pretty sure we did this, but just it's always good to review it. So it'll say Yud Zion on it, right? Or the equivalent of 33. Yisrael Shahayu Biyadu Chemtzo Shel Yisrael Acher B'Pikadon. So let's say Reuven deposits his chametz in the Rishus of Shimon. I don't know if you ever had that experience where you call up Reuven and you say, Reuven, you know, you've got your chametz in my Rishus. Like, pick it up, you know, collect it. I don't want to have your chametz in my Rishus. So Yakvenu Ad Shach Hamishis, he can wait and wait and wait until Reuven comes to collect his chametz until the fifth hour. But V'imlo Balov, if Reuven doesn't come to collect his chametz, and it's now the fifth hour. Now keep in mind, the fifth hour is also Bachila, but it's Mutabah No. So Yimkarenu Lienu Yehudi. So at that point, he can sell to a guy. Now by selling it to a guy, he really is working on behalf of Reuven. Because if he waits another hour, then the chametz will be also by none. There's nothing you can do with it. It's valueless.
If you've sold your chametz already to a guy, and now you have this fifth hour, can you sell that chametz retroactively to be with the other chametz that you sold with the guy?
You mean included in the same sale? I doubt it, because there are already signatures on the shtar, so I don't think you could add anything after the signatures. But the main thrust of what we're learning, Mel, is that you have to now sell someone else's chametz to a guy on his behalf. And that's in order to do damage control. Because if you wait until the end of the fifth hour, then your friend Reuven is going to be stuck with chametz that's worthless. So at least he can get something for his value. Imagine if it's whiskey that's worth $250. You can save him the loss of that value by selling it to a guy. But if you wait another few minutes, it becomes chametz shavul of a Pesach. So therefore, lo ba balav yim karenu li'eni Yehudi. Now, here's the question that we want to raise: Who's really on the chopping board here? What do I mean? You know, Shimon is a good Samaritan here by making the effort in selling Reuven's chametz at that hour, the fifth hour. Is there any responsibility other than, let's say, an ethical responsibility, meaning that surely Shimon is a good Samaritan, as we said before, he feels for Reuven, he wants to cut his damage loss. But regardless of that, does Shimon have his own personal responsibility to get rid of this chametz? Meaning, is Shimon in any way liable for violating Vayiro by Yimotze simply because he's got the chametz of Reuven in his possession? So let's read the next part of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, V'im lo macharo, if Shimon did not sell the chametz of Reuven to a guy, chayav levaro, he has to burn it, bizman isuro, meaning by the time that the sixth hour comes, because that's when we burn chametz, afilu eno chayav bachri yiso, even though he didn't take upon himself any responsibility. Now, if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah Yudalit, again, we're not going through all the Mishnah Berurahs, because this is just a review, but if you count down about four lines into Yudalit, you'll see the last word on the line is Vidas. He said, yeah, you have it? So you're on page 34.
Yeah.
34, you're looking at the Mishnah Berurah Yudalit,
right?
And we're skipping the Bach and the Magen Avraham, we're going straight to the Gra, Vidas HaGra. Diyeshal of Chiyuv min Torah Levayer, he, meaning Shimon, has a Doraisa requirement. This is not an ethical, as I said before, be good to your neighbor kind of thing. he's got his own personal obligation with the rice to destroy the chametz. Af shachametz enu shalo, even though he doesn't own the chametz, he still has to destroy it. Let's add another point. Even though he doesn't have any achrayus on the chametz, right? That's what it says in the Mechaber on the top line. He, Shimon, did not accept any responsibility whatsoever for Reuven's chametz. And yet, Shimon has to destroy the chametz min ha-Torah, according to the law of chametz. Not because of Yasisa va-yosha va-tov, or va-haftos l'reacha kamocha. The kevon shachametz be-beso, there are two conditions here that you can check off. Number one, Shimon is holding on to chametz, but number two, who owns the chametz? Not a guy, but who shall Yisrael, his, right? Reuven owns the chametz. And therefore, Shimon is now liable for Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. So when the Torah says Lo Yimotzeh Chametz, that you shouldn't have Chametz found in your Rishus, it means even Chametz that's not yours, if it's in your Rishus and it's owned by a Jew, you become responsible. Now what I don't know, this is what I can't figure out, what would the Gaon say about Reuven? It seems to me that, again, this is crazy what I'm about to tell you. So it's like, you ever hear the phrase, v'dok v'tishkach? I mean, listen and then forget it, what I'm about to tell you. That both Reuven and Shimon are equally liable for this chametz. Reuven is liable for this chametz because it's his chametz. Legally, it's his.
Right.
Shimon is going to violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh because he's got possession over the chametz. You know, ownership is broken, can be broken down into two elements. There's shalom and Bershuso. Here we're going to split the two. Reuven has the Shalom. Shimon has the Bershuso. Reuven violates Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh because of Shalom. Shimon because of Bershuso. So that Shimon, if he sells the chametz, he's doing two things. Number one, he's saving, he's sparing and protecting Reuven from violating Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh, but at the same time, he's saving himself from violating Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. And if he's not able to sell the chametz, the Shulchan Aruch says that he has to destroy the chametz, says the Vilna Gaon. Not that he has to destroy the chametz because he's protecting Reuven. He's got to destroy the chametz for his own personal responsibility and liability for Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. And why? Because it's chametz shel Yisrael acher birshuso, even without achrayus. In the case of chametz shel goy, if the guy owns the chametz and he deposits it in my possession, I don't have an issue about your Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. I might have another issue. You know, I don't want to leave chametz around. Somebody might eat it. So I build a little mechitza, you know, set up a some sort of separation. Well, what do they call those folding doors? You know what I'm talking about? You know, what do they call them?
Partitions.
Yeah, you know, you have some of them are decorated, you know, from the east, you know, the Orient, you know, you have those things, and if you have a makeshift shul, you put it up as a mechitza between the men and the women. That's he's going to have to set up a makeshift mechitza for the chametz shel akum, but he doesn't have to destroy the chametz. It's not his bal yiroh bal yimotzeh, but that's because it's owned by a guy. But if it's owned by a Jew, then he becomes responsible for that chametz. Not as a moral, ethical responsibility vis-a-vis the owner of the chametz. So that's the Vilna Gaon.
You had something similar before. Also, a case where a Jew owning a large office building and leasing out having chametz in the offices. And perhaps one of the lessons lapse in their payments or say. So it's a question whether if the lease is still in effect or not.
So wait, the office space is owned by a Jew,
right?
And he's leasing out part of it to a non-Jew
or a Jew
or a Jew, and now there's chametz in that area. So if he's leasing it to a non-Jew, then I don't think it should be a problem. Yeah. Because then the non-Jew has what's called a kinyan schirus.
Right.
And once he has a kinyan schirus, he becomes the chatzar is his.
Right.
So it's now chametz shel akum versus akum. But if you're telling me that it's owned by, I lease it out to a Jew, so then the question is, do I become responsible? Let me just think about this. Since I leased it out to, let's say I leased it out to Reuven, and Reuven has his chametz in that office space or whatever it might be, therefore I have to be responsible because I own Once again, I would think we want to shock
it's the same as the guy.
Yeah, because in this case, you have neither shalom nor bershus.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Here's a complicated question. Maybe you have to ask the lawyers this question, the secular lawyers. I mean, does Shimon, the owner of the office, does he have rights to go in there, or that would be trespassing?
That's trespassing. Unless he goes in there.
So I don't know. You know, this might be, but I don't know. If it's a full fledged lease, I think, as far as Chavetz is concerned, Shimon is protected.
Right.
But if it's not a full fledged lease, let's say, for example, we can both share. Let's say you use it during the morning hours and I use it during the evening hours.
That's a different story.
That would be a serious problem.
Right.
And if the guy leaves Chavetz in a public area in that building.
So that's a Rabban Shita about Chavetz Shel Hefker. You know, here in Israel, for example, we have, and I'm sure there's something similar all over the world, we have what they call the tzfardea. Tzfardea is literally a frog. You know, they have these big green dumping, where you put all the garbage in, disposal. So a lot of people on Erev Pesach, they have masses of chametz that they were hoping to eat up before Pesach, but they never got a chance to eat it up. And they're not going to burn it because it's, you know, bags full of noodles or gosh knows what, the world. So they take it out to the tzfardea, and they assume that they're making it hefker, and that's enough to protect them from Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, because it's not my chametz. So the Ramban is of the opinion, I mean, he vacillates back and forth, but he quotes Yushalmi, that chametz shel hefker, you still violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. Now again, you have to know all the details of the Ramban. It could be the Ramban's only talking about a case where he can then, after he made it hefker, he himself could rescind his hefker. It could be chozev zochebo. Maybe if it's in a public dumping ground, he can no longer be zochebo. Also, the Ramban might be talking about a case of somebody who made it hefker just for the course of Pesach, and then after Pesach he wants to get it back. That's called rotzev v'kiyumo. But in any event, this issue about putting, you know, chametz, masses amount of chametz into a public dumping ground is not such a simple matter. You know, the post can try to work that out. So what I want to do now is learn with you Tav Mem Daled. Okay, so that's on page 30-35. Okay. Now, the subject of this Simon of Tav Mem Daled, 444, that's an interesting number, okay, is Pesach, Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. Now, I don't think that's applicable this year? Is Pesach on Shabbos this year?
It's not on Friday night.
On Friday night.
Friday night, that's not this.
Oh, this is Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Friday, so that's not our issue.
Right.
Okay, but you and I know this is very, very common in the Jewish calendar, in the Hebrew calendar.
It happens every once in a while, sure.
Yeah, I think it's once every 4 years, I don't know.
Exactly. The problem is,
yeah, look at the problem here, because you can't destroy your chametz on Shabbos, and you have no choice but destroying it before Shabbos. Now, if you destroy it on Erev Shabbos, it's going to be Erev Shabbos, right? Because Erev Shabbos, it's going to be Erev Pesach, I meant to say, right? Because it's Erev Pesach itself is on Shabbos. So Shabbos, so Pesach is going to be on Saturday night, Sunday. And Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. So you're going to have to destroy the chametz on Erev Pesach, which would be on Friday.
On Thursday night, And on Friday morning, you burn it.
Right. That's what he says here. You dal shechalios
b'Shabbos. And then not on Shabbos to flush it down the toilet or so.
Right. We don't want to mess around. We'll see. Vokim lel yudgil. So first, let's talk about bedika. Right. Stage number one. So the bedika obviously cannot be on Shabbos. And therefore, since Shabbos is the 14th, and Bedikah is going to have to be on the 13th, which is a weird kind of situation, because we always establish the day of Bedikah on the 14th. Here it's got, it has to be on the 13th. Umevari makol lefnei Shabbos, and the chametz has to be destroyed on Friday morning, which is again the Yom Yud Gimel, one day before the mitzvah. And the first question that has to
be in the morning, or can it be destroyed Friday afternoon?
I don't think so, because
the Friday afternoon is still not You're doing it the day early, so.
Well, let's figure this out. Again, the Yudalit is Chal B'Shabbos. You're right. Yeah, it's he says Lifnei HaShabbos. You're right. It doesn't have to be in the morning.
Yeah. Is there a problem making the bracha?
Yeah, that's what I was worrying about. Immediately, I was thinking about the bracha. Can you recite a bracha on a vedika a day earlier? For example, you remember that we discussed Hayotze B'Shayara. And if he leaves his house within 30 days, he has to make a bedikah the night before he leaves. Mm-hmm. But there are more rites, you don't make a bracha on that because it's before you dalit. So it's not really the Shas Chovoso yet. Here's a case where maybe we could establish that on Yud Gimel there's a Shas Chovoso. I don't know, we'll have to check this out in the Mishnah Berurah and see what he says. Now, what happens on Shabbos? Because Shabbos is now Yudalit B'Nisan. Now, midday on Shabbos, Chavis becomes awesome on a Doraisa level, and an hour early on a Darabana level. And let's assume he's gonna eat Lecha Mishnah, which is Chavis. He can't eat Matzah because HaOchel Matzah B'Erev Pesach Kibol HaRusos Beis Chavis. There's a severe Easter not to eat Matzah on Erev Pesach. On the other hand, if he eats chametz, A, he's got to make sure he finishes his chametz before the Shas Yisuro, and then you have your case of, I guess, flushing it down the toilet, whatever you left over. And B, not only does he have to make sure that he has the possibility of eating Lecha Mishnah, but he's going to have to make sure that he eats it early enough in the morning. Let's assume that chametz becomes also bachil at 10 a.m., how do you engineer this, that he eats his Suda Shabbos with Shtel Lechem before 10 a.m.? You're going to have to wake up early that Shabbos.
Those Shabbos, when that happens, people go to shul for really early in the morning. We've daven at whatever, 7 o'clock in the morning.
You maybe have to daven on Nates.
It's been a while since this happened.
Yeah? I don't remember. So I have to go through the calendar.
It's been a number of years.
Yeah, it has been a few years. Yeah.
Now, to make life even more complicated, what does he do for Sudash Lishit? For Shalosh Shittos, he can't eat from Chametz. It's ready after Shas Yisuro. Can he be Yotze Shalosh Shittos by eating eggs and lettuce? I don't know, whatever he's eating, potatoes? You know, maybe eat Shalosh Shittos and potatoes without washing.
Some people hope for mizonos, but you can't eat mizonos anyway. Well,
yeah, what mizonos are you going to eat? Okay, I mean, matzah you're not eating. Maybe you can eat matzah shira. That's
maybe
after.
Egg matzah,
right. Right, that's after sin. That's what I think he's going to discuss now. He says, "Umishayrim mazon shtei seudos litzorech hashavos." And then he says, why is it only shtei sudas? What about the third suda? The suda shlishis mana ala achar mincha. In other words, the mechaber could not imagine halachically justifying a third suda before mincha time. Which is very interesting because it means that there's no possibility of setting up your shalosh shudas in the morning. When I say no possibility, I don't mean physically it's not possible. But halachically, it's not possible. The third suda has to take place after mincha. That's the mechaber sheet. V'oz enu yechol asosa lo b'matzah v'lo b'chametz. So you can't eat matzah because it's Erev Pesach. You can't eat chametz because it's after Shas Yisuro. Ela b'matzah shira. Okay, we'll have to see about that. V'tzarech la'asosa kodem sha'a siris. Notice we don't want to be koveh suda on Erev Pesach. We're going to have a whole siman about that. That we want to starve ourselves a little bit on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, so that we'll have matzah l'teyamon. And if we start being koveh suda in the afternoon, if it's too late after the sha'a siris, then you won't be hungry. So we're not koveh suda. Now, whether or not you could be koveh suda on matzah shira is an interesting question. That has to do with what's called pasababa kislin. So there's certain categories of crackers and things like that that you make a mizonos on them, but you could be koveh suda.
Even on cake, if you have a lot of cake.
I mean, you have to know. Maybe he has to have a tzuras hapas. I mean, for that, you have to be a bucky and uncle's prophet. That's what they used to say in the old days when a boy came in as a potential to, you know, to present his candidacy to marry, you know, your daughter. You would put out a, they used to call it the Lundisha fruit platter, you know, to see which brachas, he made. That's how you tested it. So brachas is really complicated, but in any event. Yeah, so he says, V'tzorach la'asosa kodem sha asirus. Okay. Now here we get into the whole issue about matzah shira. There are many different dimensions to that issue, but the one that's most relevant to us now is whether the Isur of eating matzah on Erev Pesach applies, A, that's the first definition, only to matzah that you can use for the mitzvah, or B, to any matzah. If it applies to only matzah that you can use for the mitzvah, then we understand the machaber very well. Because matzah shira cannot be used for the mitzvah. The Torah says lechem oni as opposed to matzah shira. And lechem oni means it's just simply flour and water without any mixture of any fruit juices or anything like that. So therefore matzah shira cannot be used for the mitzvah of matzah. So the machaber says if that be the case, then you could eat on Erev Pesach matzah shira, because it's not included in the Iser of Achilas Matzah Erev Pesach, which is limited to matzah that's roi for the mitzvah of matzah. The other approach is to say that we want to stay away from all matzah on Erev Pesach. We want to make a declaration that, you know, right now we don't have the mitzvah of matzah. The mitzvah of matzah is going to emerge tonight, and we stay away from all matzah. Anything that has a shame matzah to it, not a matzah's mitzvah, it can't be a matzah's mitzvah, that doesn't qualify, but it does have a shame matzah. It's called matzah ashira. To the extent to which we may even make a bracha of hamotzi lechem in aretz, because it's real matzah, it's real lechem. And if that be the case, then this option for shal shuris is no longer an option.
That's
what the Ramah is going to say.
Is it real lechem?
Because that's a machlokas shin.
Because then you have the same issue you have with mezonos rolls.
Mezonos rolls are a real serious issue if you kovea suda on mezonos rolls.
The machabah would hold, but it's hard to make mezonos.
Yeah, that's complicated.
On egg matzah.
Spartan don't make a motzi on matzah during the year.
Right.
They don't make motzi on matzah.
Right, that is true.
I'm saying especially egg matzah, they would.
Right. So if you take a look quickly at the Ramah, I mean, then we'll get back to the Mishnah Berurah. On the top of page 36, he writes, "Uvimedinos elu she'ein nogim lechol matzah shira." So he tells you to look way later on in Hilchos Pesach. It'll be a while till we get to Tav Samach Beis, hopefully before Pesach. And there he says that we're our minhag, the Ashkenazic minhag, so we don't eat matzah shira on Erev Pesach. So what is he going to do with Suda Shlish? It says, Yikayim Suda Shlish is b'mine peros o b'bosar v'dogim. So you can eat fruits, and then he says, o b'bosar v'dogim. I don't know what the o here is. You know, it sounds like fruits would be enough for Shalosh Shudas. I mean, that's really Shasat Chak, to rely on that Shita that you can Yotze Shalosh Shudas with fruits. At least boss of a dog, that's the essence or a mainstay course. You know, it's the first course or the main course of a suda. You know, peros is really.
But he doesn't say maybe so like throughout the year, the same thing.
I don't think throughout the year he would advocate peros. You know,
okay,
I don't think so. Here, I think he's in an urgent situation. So let's leave it open, and then we'll pick it up one by one. So going back to the beginning here, the first question that we want to address is there a bracha on Bedikon Yud Gimel? In other words, in this case of Erev Pesach Shalalias B'Shabbos, did they establish that the Shas Chavos of Bedikah is on Yud Gimel? Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'tzorach levarach ala Bedikah, V'gam levatel, k'mo b'shar shonim b'leil Yud Dal. He doesn't even blink about it. I was expecting, the whole avalanche here, that, you know, everyone would get excited here and say, well, how can you make a bracha on Yud Gimel? So if I understand correctly, he's assuming that in this case where there's no possibility of Bedika on Yudalid, because Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, then they changed the date of the Chiyuv. They established, it was part of the original Takana that they enacted that the Yud Gimel is the Shas Chovoso, and the Nafkavidus, you could say, Asher Kitchonim, it's also Mitzivonim. Leil Yud Gimel, Shalav Mocha Be'er of Shabbos, Yev Shal Livdok. In other words, he has to do the Bedika at night, because we have a principle called Or Haner Yofel Bedika, and therefore we advocate Bedika at night. If not for the problem of Or Haner, I think he would advocate doing the Bedika in the morning on Friday. And the reason for that is because it's much closer to Yudalev, and you want to make the Bedika as late as you possibly can, because the earlier you make Bedika, the more it's separated from Yudalev, and the more you increase the chances of having chametz coming in and out of the house. But he says we're barricaded here. We cannot make the bedikah in the morning, even though l'chatchila that would be a better option, because we won't have the or haner. All we have is the or hachama. We have the light of the sun, but not the light of the candle. Umeshayrim. Okay, this is the old story about, you know, leaving chametz around the house after your bedikah. Because if you leave chametz unguarded after the bedikah, you'll never know if that chametz might go back into the house, which would undermine your whole bedikah's chametz. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Tzarich lizor lahanicho b'makom mutzna." He's got to lock it up, make sure that no one gets access to it, and he's leaving mazon shtei sudas l'tzarich haShabbos. So b'Shabbos zeh mashkimim lispalel. The davening should be early and short, so that they have enough time not to chas v'sholem get involved in eating chametz, eating the challahs after Shas Isura. Now, that's as far as the first two sudas are concerned. So we organize them that they should finish by the time you get to 10 a.m. But now, what do we do for Shalosh Shuvos? So according to the Mechaber, we have a problem here. We're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. We certainly can't eat chametz for Shuvah Shlishis, which is after Mincha in the afternoon. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Lo b'matzah d'ha osur lechol matzah b'Erev Pesach. Okay, that's later on. So therefore, the Mechaber advocates using matzah ashira. Hainu sheni losha b'mei peros levad. Yeah, in my day it was egg matzah, but I think now it became more popular to use grape matzahs. No? Did you ever see such a thing?
No.
Yeah. I was in Florida, I don't remember which Pesach it was, but recently, you know, not 10 years ago, and they were selling these grape matzahs, you know, made out of grape juice. I guess it has a good taste to it. It's a classic case of matzah shira. You know, in general, we try to avoid matzah shira because, during Pesach itself, I mean, because matzah shira is a machlokas rishonim. There actually are rishonim that hold that if you compare water to meperos in terms of the fermentation process, that meperos actually are machametz even faster than mayim. And therefore, we don't want to get involved with matzah shira. I remember when I was a youngster, they had Streitz matzahs for Baron Salvechko was the machshir. He used to write a whole settle there, just for the older people, or sick people. You know, you remember that?
Yeah.
You know, not to think that he was giving a hechsher for everybody, because we're not so excited about eating matzah shira on Pesach. Here we're talking about Erev Pesach, albeit after Shas Yisuro, but it's a whole different time period. It's not Pesach itself. I mean, if you chas v'shalom would eat chametz at that hour, you don't violate any sukkaris. It's really derived from tashbisu and bal yiro bayim matzah. So we allow you to eat egg matzahs or meperos, he says.
Never in my life have I eaten egg matzahs. Never came to my.
You mean if I gave you mel egg matzahs now, you wouldn't eat it?
I might eat it because it's free. Okay.
No, what I mean to but say is, Pesach, during the course of the year, you know what I'm saying?
But on Erev Pesach, no.
No. Well, you're an Ashkenazi. You're a Rabbah fan, you know. Now it's Sfaradim. We're learning the Mechaber, you know.
The chocolate cup of matzah would always be egg matzah. And then they changed. They made the chocolate on regular matzah. So.
Yeah. Can you get chocolate matzah shmura? Is there such an entity?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe there is.
My wife will hold it for you.
He says the following. Kodem Shah Asiris. In other words, now we have a problem of filling up our belly after the 10th hour with in this case, matzah, according to the Mechaber. So therefore, we have to make sure that we eat Shalashudas before Shah Asiris. So Shah Asiris, let's say on a perfect day, would be 3 p.m. 3 p.m. So we're on Shabbos, and it's Erev Pesach, and we're eating matzah, but in this case, matzah shira, before 3 p.m. So it's a really interesting phenomenon when you think of it. But you see from this how important it was for the Mechaber to eat Shal Shudas. It wasn't like you and I sometimes, I don't know, I shouldn't say you, but you know, sometimes we take a little bit of a laid back attitude about Shal Shudas. Nishkefelsi, you won't eat Shal Shudas. Well, the Rabbah says, eat an orange for Shal Shudas. You know, but the Mechaber takes it very, very seriously, Sudash Lishit. In fact, the Gemara actually quotes Rav Chidka, he used to eat 4 Sudas on Shabbat. So at least 3. So he says, "Devisham v'elch afilu matzah shira after the 3rd hour, the 3 o'clock in the afternoon, iafilu matzah shira also lechol kideshi yochal matzah l'teyom." So he doesn't want to fill his belly. By the way, this is also a warning to someone who's eating meat and fish for shalashud. So you can fill up your belly with meat and fish as well. Ukel kavod b'simon far. Okay, now we'll turn to page 36.
Suda really isn't a suda unless you have mosi, is it?
True, but you know, you can fill up your belly with a lot of different things. Oh. You know, we today people eat sushi. I never got into sushi, but
neither have I.
But there are people who make a full meal out of sushi, and like they'll pay endless amount of money if it's the right sushi. So now you're about to eat matzah l'teyomen and you filled your body with fish. You know, I don't think that's a good idea. And meat, for example, you and I know, it takes a long time to digest meat. It gets very heavy in your belly. So it's very nice, you know, if you're eating fruits in the afternoon. Well, let's see what he says about fruits. Ayin le'el b'simon reish sadi aleph. Okay, now we're going all the way back to Hilchos Shabbos. T'yesh deos v'poskim im tzorach la'asosa dafka v'pas o desagi gamkin v'shar dvarim. So although l'chatchilu we would certainly discourage you from eating fruits as shalash shudas, but nevertheless here we're in a shas hadchak and we don't have much of a choice according to the Ramah because we don't eat matzah shira on Erev Pesach. Yislazeh omar de b'shas hadchak kazeh yochol lismach ala mekilim v'ayin sham diyosito v'bos v'dogmi b'peros. So if you go back again to the laws of Shalash Shudas and you're in a situation where you can't wash and make a suda in the classic sense, but at least eat basar v'dogim, those are the mainstay of a suda. V'hu adin diyochel akayim b'tavshil kagon knedlach. Ah, he may prefer a tavshil, you know, something that's cooked. Because if you're eating just plain fish, it doesn't have that same significance as eating something that's cooked.
But knedlach, what kind of knedlach?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of knedlach. He says in the English, in the Targum, he says, kuftos mevusholos. Right. So this is interesting. He's relying on the shita now that will allow you to eat a food on Erev Pesach that has matzah meal in it. You can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Don't even dream about that. And according to the Ramah, you can't even eat matzah shira. But if you have a food like knedlach, which has matzah meal in it, that he's going to allow you to eat. Ach yesh nafkamina dezeno mutar kodem shashishit asiris. He wants to say the following, that since knedlach has matzah meal in it, then it comes under the Easter of Achila on Erev Pesach after Shah Asiris. So on the one hand, you want to be Yotzei Shalosh Shuras, but you have to be careful now to eat before Shah Sirus. Now in the Mechaber's frame of reference, he was referring to Matzah Shira. In the Ramah's frame of reference, he didn't mention Kneiloch. He was talking about Peros or Bosa V'Dogim. So there's no problem eating that whenever you want to set up your Shalosh Shuras. But now if you introduce Kneiloch into the equation, then again you're back to Shah Sirus. So you have Matzah Mel inside these Kneiloch, and you're allowed to eat that up to Shah Sirus as Shalashus. Hechash Makaim Paris and Bosom Dog Mukhalakaima Fil Shaha Acha Sirus. Right. So if he's only eating fruits or meat or fish, he can eat that even after 3 o'clock. Ah. Oh. This was Baruch Shekimati. I didn't see this beforehand. He says, Ach Bakolze Yizar Shiyochal Gakma At Valola Mali Kresam. It's very easy to fill up on fish, you know, fish not as much as meat, but meat, my gosh, if you eat a meat meal, that can keep you satiated for hours. So here you want to eat the matzah, you know. Kedei sheyochal matzah l'teivayim v'achron shekosu l'tov gamkin sheyichalik sudas shachris shalpas l'shnayim. Oh, well, this is a lumdish of business. Can you eat one meal and count it as two meals? No, it's break in the middle of the meal and bench. So let's say, for example, we daven vasikin on Shabbos morning, and we've made it a quick davening. We finish by chveis 8:30 in the morning. We have another hour and a half to eat chametz. Can I take that hour and a half and split it into two meals? And you know the Mechaber is in favor, is against such a thing, because the Mechaber wants to make sure you eat Shalosh Shuras after Mincha. Now you're talking at 8:30 in the morning. Can we rely on that opinion that you're allowed to be Yotzei Shalosh Shuras in the morning? So he wants you to do, basically, I'm going to say it in my language, not in his language, he wants you to bench, then take a walk around the block, not too long of a walk, because the clock is ticking, and then wash again, and have Suda Shlishis, and finish up before 10 a.m. But again, we're still stuck with the leftover chametz. You know, if everything gets eaten up, you're okay. But you know, how do you be mashayer? You know, you should really take the amount of chalas that you need. Just simply, let's say, yeah. But it's complicated because if you want to set up suda shlishis on shtel lechem, so you need two full. You're gonna have to get small rolls. You know, get yourself some small rolls. All this has to be thought out very carefully. You know, here in Israel they have pitos. I mean, you have it in America too, but here it's like very common. So what you do is, maybe for Shalosh Shuras, eat two pitos. If you have a number of people in the household, you can complete the pito before 10 a.m. And that'll be a Suda Shlishis. Once you finish the pito, you can sing as long as you want, Fir Tish, all the way till Pesach.
You don't have to walk around the block. All you have to do is change your Makom Suda to another place.
Poof. Again, Mel, you're asking me to go through Hilchos Brachos now, and I'm not ready to do that. I apologize. You have to be a big lamdan for that, to know exactly if you just pick up. Because again, the issue is Brachos Shein Tzricha. So if you make a hefsek and you walk around the block, so then you have to wash again midinei hefsek. I'm not sure if you just move from one makom to the other, you know, how far of a makom is it, and how long does it take to get to the other place? Can you see from this makom? You know what I mean? So you really have to. Then this simon in Shulchan Aruch is an overlap of many, many different simonim, and you have to know them all in order to paskin on this. So I'm not saying, he says lahafzik eizah shahus. The mechaber, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't even tell you what I said. Walk around the block. That was Berzon. That wasn't Rebbe the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim says eizah shahus. He doesn't tell you how long of a shahus is. He doesn't say no what you said either, that you should go from one makom to the other. He wants to just make a hefzik of a shahus. The whole thing is like a legal fiction, because who are you fooling? I mean, you realize that you want to eat another meal, but it doesn't matter. The halacha works with objective categories, and if you wait a long enough time, is it 20 minutes? Right. Yeah, how long do you have to wait? And you're on a very tight schedule.
The Shulchan Aruch Rav would say you'd be puter.
From Chalashudas? Why? He's Mekel on Chalashudas in general?
I'm asking.
I don't know. I'm not a Bucky in the Shulchan Aruch Rav. You guys are asking me questions which I can't answer. I'm sorry. I apologize. We do have a copy of the Shulchan Aruch Rav. After we finish, Ruben, we could, you know, I'm pressured for my next year, but if you don't mind doing the research of it, we have it right here. Mamish, a few feet from here in the main base medrash. All right, so we're up to Sif Beis in the Mechaber. Okay, and he says the following: Tov Levayer be Erev Shabbos Kodem Chatzos. Okay, Kadesh Lo Yovo Litos Bishar Shonim Levayer Achar Chatzos. What, I understand where he's going with this, but just give me one second here. Why would we think? I'm trying to figure out the Havamina here. What was the Havamina that he would do the Bir Chometz at a later hour? I don't understand the Havamina here. Maybe we'll see the Mishnah Berurah. He says, Tov Levar B'Erev Shabbos Kodem Chatzos. I mean, that's true for every single Erev Pesach.
But this is not Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is not Shabbos. Friday is not Erev Pesach. So maybe you can do it later, is what he said.
Oh, I see. Oh, you're probably right, Mel. Let's just see. Tov Levayer be Erev Shabbos. No, it's talking about Erev Shabbos.
Yeah, Erev Shabbos. But Shabbos is Erev Yantel. That's the whole.
Yudal Shechalios Peshabbos. Ah, so in other words, Erev Shabbos is Yud Gimel. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Mel's right. I just made a mathematical error. So again, let's review this from the top. So now we know the 14th is of Nisan is on Shabbos, and he did his bedik on Leil Yud Gimel, and Yud Gimel in the morning, which is Erev Shabbos, he's destroying his chametz. So you would say in this case, what's the rush? You know, I don't have to...
Any time during that day.
Correct, because it's always going to be by definition before Erev Pesach at Chatzos. It's right. Going to be a full day before. So why not wait up? So here he says he's worried that if you do it after that time, the next year you might make mistakenly...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like a low plug kind of thing. Yeah. He says, Tov Levayer be Erev Shabbos Kodem Chatzos.
What he's saying is really stick to that habit of doing it before Chatzos.
Right.
Really don't have
which
to
really means before the sixth hour. Okay, right. Fine. Now, what about Bittul? Oh, he says, Ubiyom HaShabbos Yevatlenu. And that seems like a big chiddush to me, to do Bittul on Shabbos itself. Let's just see what the Mishnah Berurah says in Yud. He says, "V'einu tzorach levatol be erev Shabbos b'shas biuro d'soso v'yet tzorach levatol miyom mocha." I know he's not addressing my question. See, what bothers me is the following: the Bali Atosus identified bittul as hefker. Are you allowed to be mafkir something on Shabbos? Can I declare that this table of mine is hefker on Shabbos itself? Because we don't do kinyanim on Shabbos. I think what the Mechaber is saying is one of two things. So it could be they're both correct.
When you're declaring it
hefker? Oh, okay, so you're a step ahead of me, Mel. But first let me make one point. It could be that the Mechaber does not identify Bittul as hefker. Bittul is declaration that I don't want this chametz. It's like the dust of the earth. Or alternatively, even if you assume that the Mechaber identifies Bittul as Hefker, but nevertheless, that's not a real kinyan. Like Mel was saying before, I'm not giving it over, I'm not transferring ownership over the object to somebody else, I'm just being Masalik my ownership. And that you're allowed to do even on Shabbos. Another way of learning this is maybe since this Bittul is a mitzvah of Tashbisu, maybe the Rabbanu, when they asked kinyanim, they excluded any kinyan that was done for the sake of a mitzvah. A number of different possibilities here. The Mishnah Berurah is addressing a whole different issue, and he wants to know when is the time for Bittul. Why not do Bittul as we always do it after the Bir Chametz, which in this case would be on Yud Gimel? And he says the following: "If he ain't tzorch levatel be erev Shabbos b'shas biuro, the sof sof yet tzorch levatel be yom mochros, shrei chozev v'zochav v'pasha m'shal tzorch haShabbos v'yishloch Hashem yishar behem ma'an." He says the chiddush here is that you don't have to do bittul on erev Shabbos at the shas biur. So you'll ask me, well, why, you know, if we're trying to be mashve, you know, the Shana Zul, Shana Cheres, then why not postpone the bittul? And I'm sorry, why not be mocked in the bittul? You should do it earlier on Yud Gimel, which is the Shas Biur. Do you follow what I'm saying? On a normal year, right after I destroy my chametz, I make bittul. Why shouldn't I do it that way on this year? Instead, I'm going to do bittul on Friday. I'm sorry, I'm going to do beer on Friday and bittul on Shabbos, a full day later. That's also upsetting the apple cart. So the answer is, there's no din of biur. I'm sorry, starting again. There's no din of bittul b'shas biur. There is no such halacha. The halacha is that you do bittul from the last moment that you're eating chametz. So in a normal year, the last moment that you're eating chametz is really the shas biur. So immediately after you throw the chametz into the fire, you recite bittul. But in this case of Erev Shabbos Shchalios B'Shabbos, Erev Pesach Shchalios B'Shabbos, the Shas Achilas Chametz continues for a full day. I think that you may be eating another three full sudas of Chametz. And therefore, the Ramah says that the Bittul has to take place at the end, the culmination of Achilas Chametz, which in this case is going to be on Shabbos.
So the Bidigas comments after you do that Bidigas comments on the 12th, you don't make a bittul.
Well, wait a second. There are two bittuls, right? There's one bittul after Bidika, and there's another bittul b'shas biur. We're focused here on the second bittul b'shas biur. Now you're asking a different question. What about the bittul b'shas Bidika? I don't think that should change at all. Because what we're doing is we're taking the entire mitzvah of Bidika, which normally starts on Yudalit, and we're pressing it back up to Yud Gimel, and that entire mitzvah of Bidika terminates with Bittul.
Yes.
Now, you can ask me another question. Why do we make two Bittuls any year? So you want to go through that again?
Yeah, well,
I think we discussed it once. Let's go through it again. It's a good, always a good chazar.
No, but also,
do you remember the difference between that bittul and the second bittul?
Yeah, but
so remind me. Okay,
no,
I don't remember.
No. So I'm thought. Well, one day is that you're making that bittul, but you have in mind that beer chametz in the morning.
But I want to just review something that we spoke about, but it's always kedai to review.
Sure.
There's a fundamental difference in the first bittul, which you recite after Bidika, and the second bittul, B'shas Bir. Yeah. The first bittul is on what's called Chomet She'ena Yedua. That means just in case, an event, that my Bidika was not thorough enough, and there's a piece of chametz stuck somewhere, which is unbeknown to me, it's on the top of the rafter or something, so now being mevatel that. Now, I still have chametz yadua, that I'm not making bittul on, because that chametz I'm going to be eating, hopefully in the next, 12 hours, whatever, until I finish breakfast the next morning. I finish breakfast the next morning, eat up whatever chametz I possibly can, and the remainder of the chametz, including the chametz that I found during my bedika, I take out to burn. At that point, I'm making a second bittul. That's the bittul b'shas biur. Why am I making a second bittul? Because the first bittul did not include chametz yadua. The first bittul was only on chametz sheni yadua. Now I have chametz yadua. Now, hopefully, I got rid of all my chametz yadua. But in event that I didn't get rid of all my chametz yadua, I make a second bittul. Now, the Ramah's point is that bittul is not. There's no gzeiras hakosav that bittul is b'shas biur. That bittul is at the end of the period of achila. In other words, you're always worried after you finish achila and you've eaten up whatever chametz you have, but maybe this chametz that you didn't finish eating up, there's always some shirayim, some leftover. On that you make bittul. So that should be postponed until Shabbos. Now you're asking me, Ruvein, what about the first bittul post bedika on Leil Yud Gimel in this case?
It's going to be 48 hours or so or more.
That bittul he should make anyway, because that bittul is for Chomet She'ena Yadua.
Okay, so
But now he has chometz that he's saving. And how long is he saving it for? Normally he saves it for another 12 hours until he finishes his breakfast the next day. But in this particular case, he's going to save it for 24 hours, or whatever the number of hours is, until after he eats his shalosh shudas. And then when he finishes his shalosh shudas, that's when he should make bittul. So we're going to drop the middle bittul. There's no three bittuls, there's only two bittul. There's going to be bittul for chometz and you do on Leil Yud Gimel after the Bedikah. Then you can have a bittul b'sof shas achila, which is going to be on 10 a.m. on Shabbos morning. And the bittul in between, meaning normally the morning after Bedikah, that bittul is going to be completely omitted, because it's totally out of place. Bimanasha. On Chometz Sheni Yaduah, he recited Bittul on Leil Yud Gimel. And on Chometz Yaduah, he's going to continue to eat that Chometz. And the whole purpose of the second Bittul is for Chometz that he designated for continuous Achila, and he might, heaven forbid, not consume all that Chometz. There might be some Chometz left over. Therefore, he needs a Bittul for that Chometz.
There has to be Chometz left over to make
Let the Mishnah on, no, I'm asking after he eats his shalosh shudas, let's say on Shabbos morning, we're still afraid that maybe somehow, you know, even though I told you, you know, he tries to get pitot and this, that, and the other thing, but there's still leftover chametz. That chametz was not included in his original bittul, because the original bittul on Leil Yud Gimel after Bedikah was on chametz Sheni Yaduah. This already is chametz Yaduah.
Even if you have pitot, you have crumbs that are left.
Crumbs, whatever. Yeah, I don't know if you have to make bittul on crumbs. I mean, that's a sugya in the Gemara itself. Okay. Now we get up to Siv Gimel. Okay, we'll try to see if we can chop around in another 5 minutes, and then I'll let you go. He says, "Ein mevashlim l'shabbos zeh daisa v'chayotze bozeh." He says that he doesn't want you to cook. You know, I guess we'd call today farina. That's the name of a company. But what's the other thing called?
Oatmeal.
Right, oatmeal.
That's cream of wheat.
And cream of wheat and Quaker oats, you know, all that stuff. He wants to avoid that. So if you take a look, says the
some kind of a porridge.
A porridge. Excellent. Right. And he's worried about the porridge. It's very, not very, but it's a challenge to clean the utensil after porridge. I don't know if you ever, do you ever try it? You know, it's a whole, you have to heat it up, you know, to. So he says here in the Machab, in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, "Dovah shedarko ledovek b'kli, get stuck to the kli, yitztarech la'adicham li'achar achila mishamishul chametz, v'yosu kevin shein tzarech lehem shuv v'yosu ayom." So I guess he's getting involved here in what we call hachana. You know, you don't do malachos that normally... who normally would prepare for achila on the day, but here, you know, chametz becomes awesome. So now you're cleaning on Shabbos. You know, you're going to be cleaning out chametz, and that kli is not meaningful for you. It's not. Now, 1 second. This raises in my mind again. If you don't mind my just pontificating here, just thoughts that cross my mind, an issue about muktzah. What I mean to say is the following: If Erev Pesach is on Shabbos and you're eating chametz sticker meals, play this game with me, if you will. You're eating it from non Pesach sticker kelim. Play this game with me. I mean, you're going to tell me, no, I'm using disposables. Forget about all that.
They have this concept of disposables.
Right. So I'm just saying, let's say you're eating shalosh shudas at a chametz sticker kelim. Now you have a bit of a problem, because chometz sticker kelim might be muktzah. So the answer is, well, it's kodem shasi sura. So since it's kodem shasi sura, it's not muktzah. This would be interesting, because what are you going to do? Let's say you bench for shalosh shudas, and now you've got chometz sticker kelim on your table. And it's Shabbos. Again, just play the game with me, you know, theoretically. Now, those kelim, do they become muktzah? So if I remember correctly, not from Hilchos Pesach, but from Hilchos Shabbos, that's an issue called Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. Have you ever heard of that? In other words, can something become muktzah on Shabbos itself? So going into Shabbos,
it was fine.
It was muchan, because I'm going to eat my I'm eating from these chametz sticker kelim, and it's Erev Pesach, but I'm allowed on Shabbos, I'm allowed to eat, you know, it's Erev Pesach, up until Shas Yisuro. Now I got Shas Yisuro and I got kelim on my table. do those kelim become muktzah? So I think that the answer is that ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. In other words, if the Sibas HaMukta was there going into Shabbos, even if you remove that Siba on Shabbos itself, it remains Mukta. That's called Migu. Are you familiar with that principle? Migu this Katsoil Ben Ashmosh this Katsoil Kuliyoma, since it was Mukta going into Shabbos. But the other direction, I don't think we say. You know, it was Ben Ashmosh is going into Shabbos, it was not Mukta. It doesn't become Mukta on Shabbos. But he's worried about something else. He's worried about cleaning out the Chametz from your Kalim. So normally if you eat, let's say, a pita and a kli, no problem. But if you eat something like farina, you know, or oatmeal, and it gets stuck to the kalim, then you have to clean out that chametz on Shabbos, and it's already after Shasi Suro, that becomes hachana. You know, that's something that's not preparing the kalim for eating. And again, you could argue, well, it's not really hachana, I'm doing it because I don't want to violate, you know, these chametz. But maybe he's saying technically what you could do is, see, that's you have to know. I'm wondering if you could literally lock it up on the, you know, what happens if you have kalim that have chametz davuk to the kalim? Can you just lock them up under lock and key and keep them over Pesach? You've already made bittul, right? Because again, you have two bittles. You had the first bittle on Leil Yud Gimel. Now you had another bittle after you benched on for Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos morning. So now you have stuck. You know, you have pieces of chametz that stuck to the walls of the kli. You've already recited bittle. Would you violate any Easter? That's what I'm wondering.
That's chametz of Pesach.
Well, no, not if you make bittle. You know, there's no chametz of Pesach if you made bittle. Remember, we discussed earlier today if you have, you know, Shimon. Reuven left his chametz in the house of Shimon. The problem there is because Reuven didn't make bittul on his chametz. But here I'm going to make bittul on my chametz, and maybe I could just lock up these kalim. So why am I cleaning them out? Because I don't want to leave, you know, kalim that full of gestunken, upon the expression, you know, chametz davuk b'kli, and I'm going to lock it up in some sort of closet. So what am I going to do? I'm going to wash it out.
Yeah,
he doesn't want you to wash it out.
You may hear it doesn't include the bli on your kalim.
Hopefully, well, you got to make sure not to sell your kalim, because then you're going to have to take him to the mikvah. But maybe you can sell the bli of the kalim. But I think we're asking that there's no bal yerov b'motzei bli of the kalim. He's worried about literally pieces of chametz that are stuck to the walls of your kli, and you couldn't get them out, you know, because it's daisa. Let's just read it inside. One second, now. Let's sort of make sure I'm reading it correctly. He says, "Kevan di eno tzarach lahem shuv bi oso ayom." Right? He doesn't have a need for these kalim, is therefore it's aser. So I don't know what he means by aser. I think he means that's aser because you're preparing kalim that you don't need. Reuven, do you have access to the Dirshu Mishnah Brura?
No.
All right, no, don't go now. I'm just saying, if you have a chance later, because he tells you to check out Simon Shinchov Gimel, what the Dirshu Mishnah Brura is good, is very excellent. You know, whenever he tells you to look elsewhere, he gives it to you in a summary. Yeah, Mel, what were you going to say?
Why do people put themselves into these situations?
Well, no, he's saying, he's trying to give you a heads up that you shouldn't put yourself in a situation, right? He's saying, Ein Mevashlin L'Shabbos there. The whole year round, you want to eat dice on Shabbos. Maybe it was a delicacy for them, and there's socioeconomic situation, but he says on this Pesach, don't think about daisa. You know, you want to eat shalosh shudas, you know, get yourself a nice pita. The Rambam would advocate that you eat it with peros and basar, but not daisa. Leave out daisa; it's too much of a headache. And I think he's involved in an issue of hachana, that we don't clean kalim on Shabbos unless we can use those kalim. So if today in our modern society we're so affluent, you would never even dream about washing dishes for the same Shabbos. You have tons of dishes. And most of the time we use disposable anyway, unless you're Hungarian and you live in Borough Park, because then you'll ruin your shidduch if you use disposables. Oh, you guys are not Hungarian, so you don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm a Yekka. We don't.
But no, when they
don't use disposables.
Oh, you don't use disposables either. Imagine if I go into a Yekki house and I notice they're eating on Shabbos from disposables. That could possibly shit up. In Borough Park, this is what happens: that they find out you use disposable on Shabbos. Heaven forbid! I'm just telling you the sociology. So today, this whole question is totally theoretical, but in those days, you would clean out your kelim on Shabbos morning and Kol Shekhen on Friday night because you need them for the next Suda on Shabbos itself.
Yeah, but
also, we don't have that reality.
Yeah,
you know?
But some people, they have this kind of like on Tisha B'Av, they eat on the floor, you know, which is also you're taking away from Shabbos.
I know, every Pesach on Shabbos.
Well, what do you mean? On what is the cases?
They have their suda on the floor, so, because they have their tables all so it.
Wait a minute, you confused me here, because you said something about Tisha B'Av? Well, what are you talking about?
No, I'm saying some people won't eat on their table. They won't use their table because the table's all facing it, and they're afraid of the crumbs, and so they eat on the floor.
They eat out on the porch or something, whatever. They...
So, I think that's very problematic. Also, you're taking away from the
But wait a second. I was making one point. You're adding another point.
Yes,
wow. So, there's so many things floating around here in the atmosphere. I was just making the following point, that in those days, it was quite common to wash dishes on Shabbos. We find a heter maybe, again, I'm not posketing here, but those who do wash dishes on Shabbos, because it's disgusting, it's repulsive.
Flies,
this, that, and the other thing. But in those days, they would wash dishes on Shabbos for the next meal on Shabbos. But he's saying that in the case of chametz sticking dishes on Erev Pesach Aliyos for Shabbos, there's no head there to wash your dishes for the next meal because these are chametz sticking dishes. So why are you washing it? So I would have said, well, you're washing it to get rid of the chametz. Maybe that itself is considered litzorach hayom. But it doesn't connect to Shabbos. You know, we need a Tzorach HaShabbos. And this has nothing to do with Shabbos. That's why, for example, if you find a piece of chametz, we're not going to allow you to burn it, let's say on Yontif. Forget about Shabbos for a minute. Let's say you on Pesach, you find a piece of chametz. And it's Yontif. We don't allow you to burn it. Even though we normally apply the principle of Mitoch, that if it has some sort of Tzorach, you're allowed to. Right, so technically, let's say you could heat up a bathtub if you would be allowed to take a bath on Yom Tov. Okay, that's not a good example because we don't. But I'm saying, you know, anything that's l'tzorech, you can carry your lulav to shul on Yom Tov because you need it for the mitzvah of lulav, even though you're not going to eat the lulav. So that's called mitoch. But on the other hand, it's got to be l'tzorech hayom, meaning it's sukkis. And I want to be Mekayim in the midst of Lulav on Sukkot. So it has something to do with the Kedushas Hayom. So on Shabbos I can do anything that has something to do with the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos. But now you're telling me, well, I want to get rid of this Hadbakas Daisa, that might not come under Shabbos at all. So he wants to avoid that whole thing. Alright, then we'll stop here.
Yeah, sure.
Shka. Yeah, thank you so much.
I know for a practical thing, we just eat. When it's Erev Shabbos is Erev Yom Tov. When Shabbos is Erev Yom Tov, we just eat Pesach Day. We just have a little separate table, which we use for Motzi, and get rid of all the crumbs somehow or other. And then we sit down to the Pesach.
It's one of the most tension-generating days in the Jewish calendar. Sure. For the ladies, they go bonkers for this. I mean, you know, you have to, it's chametz cooties times a million, you know.
The best we ever saw was when our daughter was living up in Canada, there the shul made a big suda for everybody, right?
Potluck,
yeah.
And then they got rid of all the chametz somehow. Right.
Whatever they did, I didn't know, and we didn't care.
Yeah,
right?
you just walked out of the shul.
It's your problem.
It's not my problem.
And I think it's a lesson Esor, because it's not an individual shul. Of course they sell.
But it's no private ownership, man.
Yeah.
But you were asking me a different question about Kedusha Shabbos and Kvod Hayom.
Exactly.
And people are sitting on the floor.
Yeah, I've heard these stories.
You have to find the right balance.
You're taking away from Shabbos when you do
these
things.
Right. It's a tough challenge. Yeah, you too. I'm grateful.